Yes. Yeah.
Oh, this is nice. Figured it out.
We don't want your kind around.
I feel like this is starting off rough because of my location. You know,
we don't want your kind around.
Is that what happened when you first got to Alabama?
Where are you from, boy? Africa? We don't want your kind around.
They said you said Africa. You were like, yeah, actually, yes.
Yes. Nigeria, to be specific. Huh. Nigeria. Oh. We don't.
Oh my God.
You Nigerian. You know what Nigeria rhymes with, don't you?
Stop. I can't start the pot out like this. I can't. First of all, I'm in a dodgy locker room.
Okay.
At the University of Manchester, trying to be quiet.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. I got you.
Because it's you were supposed to be here, but you had things to do. You had things to do. You're responsible. It's the NFL Flag Championship.
Yes, it is.
Kids from all around the country. Yeah. Man, they're having a good time out there, man.
I like the fact that you're there though, J-Bell, because that's very, very important. Yeah, you are, because there's another flag championship happening in Africa, in Kenya. Mm-hmm. And I gotta go to that one.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So they send me to Africa. They keep you, they keep you around, you know, the UK, the nice parts. For me, they'd be like, hey, bro, get your ass to Africa. Go to that flag championship. Huh? With your Nigerian ass. Go to that flag championship.
Did you say, huh?
I'm sweating, though.
I'm sweating, too. I'm in this locker room.
They sent me to the African.
They sent me to North London. I mean, they sent me to the northern part of the country.
Manchester, yeah. That's nice. They sent you to the
Oh, my gosh.
But not to be fair, Nairobi. Nairobi is sick, though. Nairobi is nice. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Let's be honest with the people. I want to go.
That's the nicer one.
You won't put me on the plane because you don't want me... You don't want me on the manifest because then it's obvious that you just you're promoting your friends and giving them benefits and giving them business deals.
That sounds like
the U.S. government, but simply, I'm not going there.
Simply not true. Simply not true.
Okay. The truth is,
we don't have budgets. You want to know what's actually going on? We don't have the money, buddy.
Oh my gosh. Well, we got the money to get me to Manchester.
Yeah, definitely.
Good day, man. The kids are out here flying around. You know, it's fun, man. I had a couple of interviews, and a lot of the conversation is about even just walking by and talking to people. The introduction to the game was when we first got on TV, bro.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Isn't that some crazy stuff?
Yeah.
I find that like really fascinating. Like when we found out that Sato Traore, right? The guy who got drafted by the Miami Dolphins, fifth round pick from the UK. And we found out that he got into football by watching our show. He was like, huh, look at those two guys. What are they talking about? Listen to what we were talking about. And because of that, he was like, I want to go play football because of us on TV. And now he got drafted by the Miami Dolphins. It's crazy, J-Bo. Crazy.
How does that make you feel, man? Personally, it's so humbling. And I always talk to you about this because you do so many things for so many people. We talk about this with NFL Africa. And when you become a part of someone's story, I don't know a better compliment than that.
I think the word you said was the right word, humbling. It's humbling. You got to think about things from a different perspective. And I think about them all the time. Let's take Sato, for instance. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a look at him. This guy is going to inspire thousands of people across the UK to try to play football and try to follow his example, right?
Fact.
Good. Now, let's say a lot of those guys make it, right?
Right.
Not only has his life changed, he's changed hundreds of people's lives, right?
Yes.
Now, what happens if you don't come to the UK, or I don't come to the UK. Have those thoughts ever, like what happens then? What is Sato doing if you and I don't make our way out here, right? And so there are things like that that happen all the time, all the time. You know, I look at like FA or Jordan Mayata, a lot of these African players who have come over through the IPP program. They're in the NFL now. And I'm like, so you mean to tell me if I don't decide I'm going to come to London, none of that happens? Right?
Crazy.
To me, that thought is so humbling. And I think about how I got into the NFL, how I got into college. And I'm like, so if that guy doesn't make that phone call, none of this, it blows my mind, and I'm truly humbled. I feel so small, right?
Yeah,
because
right.
It's like, man, there's so many different things that need to connect, that need to happen to make so many other big things happen. And you are not really in control. It's just decisions. It's just like, oh, let me go do this. Let me go do that. And then boom, you've just changed hundreds of people's lives. Craziness.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking of it in a way where, the decisions you make and the things you do. But the way you just said it, I was like, man, it is totally completely out of your control.
Out of your control.
I was about to frame it as, what you can do for others and all that. But the way you said it, it's like you're still somewhat powerless because you don't know the outcome. You could just be in the moment and give your all in the moment, have the best intentions in that scenario.
What are you doing here? You didn't come here for this.
No, I didn't.
You didn't come here for this.
No.
You understand what I'm trying to say? So it's not like you made a conscious decision. I'm going to come here and I'm going to be on TV and Sato Trier is going to watch it. None of that. You came here for one thing, and now it's morphed into something completely different, and people's lives have changed because of it. It is the most bizarre thing to me.
You know what? I like the way you phrased that, because I think that's why when I'm out here and this flag stuff, I feel this sense, I'm just so happy and so proud.
Mm.
Because this is the next wave, and we talk about this sport, the opportunity that it gives people. Forget about, playing at another level. Just think about the relationships you have as a kid, and think about going to school and, having your cliques and your problem with certain people. But you go out there and you play a flag with this group of people where you get this bond and everything's just all right.
Mm.
Everything's just cool. And that's the unique thing about sports. That's what matters. But there's something else that's been on my mind this week that really matters.
Okay.
Championships.
You know what? The dramatic pause, like,
you like that?
Yeah, that was good. That was good. You did the look away.
Yeah,
you did the look away. Then the dramatic pause.
Yeah. You know where I learned that?
Yeah, I do.
You learned that from you. I stole that from you. Literally saw you do it and was like, oh,
I like that.
Now you can't see me because you're working on Sundays, but I know you used to look at the sky and think.
But I loved it though. I loved it.
My technique in the game.
Listen. To me, the way I saw it and the way I see it is, number one, you're my guy. That's first and foremost. Number two, you work super hard, right? And number three, it's not like I was using it. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, if I'm not using it, somebody else might as well. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
The knowledge you have playing corner, bro, you can't play no more. You might as well tell somebody, hey,
might as well share.
Might as well share it. I mean, come on. Why not?
You know what, too? I think about, as I was talking about championships, when you talk about your career, I heard this interview and you were talking about how you learned from Stray and how he shared everything with you. And you did that with the other D lineman who came behind you. And when you look at those teams and those championships, it was led by the D line.
Yep, 100%.
If you got four people that can beat five, four defensive linemen that can beat up five offensive linemen, you're going to win. You're going to win. That's simple math in football. And that's what you were. And that's what you did. And when people talk about those teams, they celebrate y'all.
Yep.
As a unit, And as a unit, they say individual names.
Mm.
So my question is, I'm watching everything happening in New York. The Knicks win the championships. The city's crazy. You got the World Cup there. The energy in New York when you win at anything is like no other.
Yeah.
Sports, you are remembered forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever. And New York is such a powerful city. Mm. There's so much money in that city. Mm. There's so much history. You have a connection to that. So everybody's talking about, you know, Jalen Brunson, who plays there, you know, the game he had, and he'll never be forgotten now because of them winning this championship. Mm. And you just think about the players that are historic figures in that city. I mean, they're champions.
Yeah.
And I thought, who better to talk to about this than the guy who's done it twice?
Yeah.
Because as athletes, that's the ultimate goal. But my goodness, like Antonio Pierce, our friend, says, the captain, man, if you do it in New York, that's the reason he came there. It's, you know, that he is beloved in New York for that Super Bowl.
Mm,
Like he's an all-time giant, like he played his entire career, you know, like a guy like you who's played most of his career there because of that Super Bowl. I just want to talk about that, your experience. And now looking back at all those years, what opportunities has that given you? Or what's the vibe like, and what, like, from you personally, of winning it twice in that city?
I'll tell you a story, and I probably told you this story before, but I need to let our listeners hear the story.
Give it to me.
So we play the Patriots in the first Super Bowl. We beat them, biggest upset in Super Bowl history at the time. That's what they said. Nobody gave us a chance. We overcome. City is on fire. Not even like what you're seeing now with the Knicks, a different level, right? Because it's because of how that happened, right? So the day our championship, you know, they put out these DVDs. Back then it was DVDs, championship DVDs. This is 07. So it was the championship DVD, right? So that was supposed to come out at 12 midnight.
Oh.
12 midnight, the championship. So we had to do an autograph signing at 12:01.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
big,
wow.
Big money. They pay big bread. Big bread, right? I'm like, okay, cool. We're going to do this autograph sign. So for whatever reason, that night, I get this taste for a fish from this restaurant called Tao. You know Tao.
Oh yeah. Good old Tao. Good nights in Tao. Good nights in Tao.
Massive restaurants in New York. Like, you know, big people go there. Great restaurant. So I get this taste for Tao. I'm like, man, I want to eat this Tao, but I have this thing at 12. So I called up my great friend Tanasha. You remember and I was like, hey,
we finally give her some love.
I'm like, T, listen, T, I have this event that I have to go do at 12:01, but you live in the city. I live in New Jersey. I say, hey, can you go to that restaurant and tell them that I want to order this fish to go? Right. And then after I sign the autograph thing, after I do that autograph, you just bring it there, I'll take it with me and I'll go back home. She was like, okay, cool. She calls the restaurant. Tao closes at 11.
Right.
She calls the restaurant, tells them that I, OC, wants to order this fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
They tell her, like, you know what? Don't worry about it. What we're going to do is we're going to keep the restaurant open for him. When he finishes his autograph signing, he can come here and eat the fish fresh. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, they said they're going to keep the restaurant open for you. I said, there's just no way. I did the autograph, finished at 1:30, drive to Tao. The chef goes in the back. It's just him, a waiter. The whole place is closed. He makes the fish, brings it out, and sits there as I'm sitting over there eating the fish. And I'm looking around in this restaurant. Tao, you know how Tao is.
Huge.
nobody in there, just me, the fish, and the waiter. After they finished, I gave a tip. He was like, Super Bowl champion, baby. And I walked out. And
oh my God.
When I left, I was looking around. I was like, did that happen? They kept an establishment open. One of the biggest restaurants in New York, they kept it open just so I can come in there and eat a piece of fish, J-Bell. That is what happens when you win in New York.
So, I don't remember that. I have not heard that story. That is awesome.
That's what happens when you win in New York, man. That's what happens. Nothing like it, bro.
Okay. I love this story. I love when you tell these stories because I felt like I was there, first of all.
Yeah.
I felt like I was there. But you know who I was? Like, as I'm going through this, I was the chef and the waiter. And hear me out. Hear me out. One thing we love about sports is the moments they create. And everybody has this shared experience together. That championship and that moment they lived it with you.
Yep.
That meant everything to them, just like it did you. Yep. They know where they were, they know who they were with, and they know how they felt.
Yeah.
That shared experience, like anything else, is, you know, that it's important in life. It's never forgotten. OC.
They can never forget it. They can never forget it. And you know what's so funny, J-Bell? I'm jealous of the fan.
Ooh, tell me more.
I'm jealous of the fan. And I'm talking about the New York Giant fan who got to experience that. Can you imagine? I want you to imagine, like, supporting a team.
Yep.
Like you are a fan of this team.
Yep.
You go through a season and you're okay. You're not that good, right? You're just okay.
Yeah. Roller coaster.
And then all of a sudden, you go on this magical run. And mind you, Giants hadn't won the Super Bowl in a long time at that point in time. So you go on this run and you get to a situation where you're playing Goliath. You're playing the best team in history, right? You're a fan. And nobody gives you a chance to win. And you're sitting there, you're watching. You probably don't even think the team is going to win at that time. You really don't, right? You're just vibing. And then as the game is going on, you're like, oh, wait, hold on. You know what I mean? Hold on. And then all of a sudden, you see the team that you supported with all your heart overcome something like that. Can you imagine what that feels like as a fan? You know what I mean? Like, can you picture what that's, because there's a difference between winning, you know what I mean, when you're expected to win, or winning when it's tight, and then you're going to see where nobody thinks you can win. Nobody thinks you can win. And you win and you're a fan of that team. And then you get to be like, what? Like I want to experience that once. I want to experience it once. I want Nigeria to be in a World Cup and win it. You understand what I'm saying? I want that experience. I've only experienced it from like a player standpoint. I've never experienced it from like a fan standpoint.
Let me tell you something. As a player, it's much better. It's much sweeter. You better
hold sweet on as a player.
you better hold on to
that. No, I hold on to it. Of course I do. No, of course I do. But I want to experience it on the other side.
You know what? I like what you're saying, because you're a balanced human being.
Yeah.
You're a balanced man. I'll tell you this though. I, my friend, experienced it as a fan.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why. I'm on injured reserve that year.
Yep.
I'm on the sideline for 65% of the games that year, I would say. I remember being on the sideline the last game against the Patriots, you know, where you guys lost, but, you know, very competitive. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the final one. I remember the long touchdown, but the confidence was high. Now, in the playoffs, I'm at home watching, right? I am a fan because I hadn't played a game that year. And, like, I'm watching my brothers, my boys, man. Like, but, you know, I'm not on the field.
Yeah.
And it felt good.
Mm.
I remember every game, every moment, every second. The hardest thing was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm at the Super Bowl. Ronnie B gave me the tickets. You know, I'm in there. I'm good. I'm watching y'all. And I lived every moment. And I vividly, my eyes went to it. You and AP on the field.
Mm.
After, you know, Plaxico makes the catch, I sit down, I'm sick because I realize y'all about to win and I'm not on that field.
Yeah, of course. Of
like
course.
I was physically ill.
Ill, yep.
I thought I was going to just throw up everywhere.
Yeah.
Got over that. Watching y'all on the field as a fan, I live that with you.
That's amazing.
And that's the thing about, that's what's so amazing. Yeah. That's why that restaurant stayed open. And think about it. In a city like New York, you, my friend, two times, you live in people's memories as one of the most significant moments of their life.
Mm.
Think about it.
Crazy.
When you're a fan, and that's why, when you move around, the way people respond to you, the way people talk to you, I see it. It's almost like you're the man, but I feel like I know you.
Mm.
And thank you. All in like the way the vibe is. Oh, see, you know what I mean? It's like, it's you know all I'm that.
Laughing. You know how I'm laughing? Let me tell you why I'm laughing, right? I remember when I first started, you know the story, when I first started dating Layla.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we'd be in the streets and people would be speaking to me. They'd be like, what up, Os? What's going on, man? Yeah, what's up? And then one day she asked me, she was like, how come you know so many people? I was like, I don't know none of these people. She was like, yo, why do they talk to you like they know you? Like, yo, it's just how they do, because they literally, just like you were saying, that's how they speak to me. Like, what's up? Oh yeah, okay, oh yeah, all right. I'm like, yo, and it was just normal to me. But to somebody who doesn't really know, they're like, why do you know all these people? Why are they talking to you like they know you? Like, nah, it's just how it is out here. Yeah,
share experience. Hey, yo, I got something. Do you ever feel like through this process, maybe second Super Bowl after you experienced the first, did any of this and thinking of how the future would be apply more pressure on you in the moment? Like, did you ever think like, man, I'm this close to this immortality as far as sports is concerned, or did it never was talked about?
And the only reason why it never was spoken about was because of how we got there. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, okay, the year after we won the Super Bowl, 07, 08, right? I was injured. I was out the whole year.
Yeah.
New York Giants were the best team in football.
Yeah, they were hot until an incident happened.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So they were supposed to win the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I never got that experience of pressure.
Right.
Every time we were there, we were like, what are we doing here? Right. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I never had that experience. There was never any pressure on us because the teams that we were on were never the best team in football. Never, not even close. You understand? And so when we got to that point, it was like, well, whatever, at this point, whatever happens, happens, because there was no expectations. So it was a very, very different experience than a lot of these teams that are really good, and then they get there to the end and they feel all that pressure. We never felt none of it, man.
You think fans love you more when you win and there's no pressure? Like, is the surprise about it?
Oh yeah,
makes them like.
That's what I mean. That's what I was telling you. Yes, like it real. It's like, oh my god, I can't believe these.
Yeah,
I can't believe they pulled that off. Are you joking?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean, man. That's what I mean. And speaking to people in the street, there's something that I noticed. Actually, this happened. This happened yesterday, and I wanted to mention it. I find it funny.
Okay.
I find it really funny. You ever noticed, right? If you're walking down the street, J-Bell, right?
Uh-huh.
You're walking down the street.
Okay.
and there's a black guy, right, who's approaching you, right, and you guys lock eyes, right?
Yeah.
Is this right?
Yes.
It's what's up? Is this right? Right.
Yeah.
Both of you do it at the same time. It's like, right, right. Now, you're walking down the street, right, and it's a white guy approaching you, right, and you guys lock eyes. You both do this. You know what I'm saying?
Why?
What is that?
Why?
Right? Oh my
God, you do. Why?
Where's the agreement? Who made that agreement?
Oh like, my gosh.
Why is it that with when a black and
it's
a white
the same
person sees each other?
You're like, what's up? What's the
what's, up? What's going on? Right? And it could be white person from Russia, white person from anywhere. Like when you see them and you lock eyes, you both immediately know to do this. And when it's black, you both immediately know to do this. Who made that arrangement, Jaybird?
I still don't
want to know. Is there like a rule? Did somebody write something down that says?
I don't know.
What is
it's
that?
It's the same respect too. It's not, it's just.
I caught myself doing it. I was like, I wonder. And the reason why it happened was because it happened like within like 5 minutes of each other. Right,
like,
so one guy was like, "What's up, man?" And then the other guy came up, "What's going on?" And I was, as soon as I was like, "Wait a minute,
how did this sync up?
How did that sync up?" And the funny thing is, the part that makes me laugh is, you both know, it's like you both have this understanding that with the white guys, this you both do that.
I don't know.
And with the black guys, is this?
What do we do when we see Simon?
Simon gets the dap. You know what I mean? Simon gets the dap. He gets the dap. You know what I mean? It's when you don't know the person. You know what I mean?
When you don't know them, you walk in. When you don't know the person. Yeah, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because when you know people, it's a whole
different
vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah. I'm dapping. Do you know where the dap started?
No.
I believe a lot of the dapping and all that started in Vietnam. Black soldiers.
Okay.
Kind of confirming stuff. You know, it was rough. They put in Vietnam, they put a lot of brothers on the front line, man, threw them right out there, you know, kind of thing. So yeah, it was, I think there was some dangerous times. So yeah, that's where I believe there's always a lot of symbolism and a lot of things that you see, but that's, I think that is a fact.
I know where handshakes came from. I know that.
Tell me.
So the handshake came from weapons.
So, oh, yeah, you had to check, make sure you didn't have a weapon.
Exactly. Which I found interesting.
Yeah.
The salute came from the visor. You know, that thing, so they do this. You know, the visor that they would have. Yeah, so they do that. That's where the salute came from.
So the salute came from just moving the
visor. Yeah, lifting your visor up, like respect. Yeah. So that's where that came from.
I didn't know that.
What else? The cab driver out here told me that the reason why the streets are the way they are was because of jousting. You know, jousting? That's what he told me.
Because of that society, you're right-handed.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be right there for your horse.
Oh. Yeah.
That actually makes sense.
That's crazy.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what they do on the streets now? They still jousting. They still out here jousting on the streets.
They jousting on the streets, though?
They still out here jousting. The way people be going at each other on these streets, they still out here jousting, man.
Crazy.
They still out here, man. The school run is a battle. It'll make you so calm in the morning because it's just a battle, man. But it's a lot safer, and then I'd rather take jousting than a lot of other things that are happening in other places.
Do we have time left? How much time we have?
We got time. We're almost at 30 minutes. We got time.
So okay, did you hear about this proposed social media ban for like 16-year-olds and under?
Yes. So they're copying what happened in Australia. The same rules that happened in Australia. They have come to an agreement, or the ban is happening in the UK. Where is it under 16?
Yeah,
or under 12?
16. Under 16.
Under 16.
How do you feel about that? What are your thoughts on, you think that's a good thing or?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think that instead of complaining about these media corporations and their ability to self-regulate, right? Everybody's, they shouldn't do this. I mean, what are corporations supposed to do? They're supposed to maximize profit, right?
Yes.
Get customers. Okay. So if people have a problem with certain things, they need to legislate it. And I do believe young people should be protected from this. It's yep. hard enough for adults, man. You got young people on social media. They've done studies of what that does for the brain. It's hard enough being an adult. You're going to be an adult a long time if you're lucky. You're only a kid for so long. We need to protect them. We need to protect their minds. We need to put them in the best situation and scenario to get through those hard times. I don't think social media helps. I think it's very hard. Some schools have come up with the no smartphone things, and they try to implement that across the entire school. But, you know, the kids, if their friends are doing it, they're going to get to it. If you ban it completely, yes, there are people that are going to find ways around it. But you want to make it more difficult. You want to make that a hurdle. And because of the law, that puts a little responsibility on the corporations. So as a parent, as someone who's seeing, watch young people have to go through a lot of challenges. Yeah, I'm proud of the UK government for that.
I absolutely love it, J-Bell. I absolutely love it. Call us anything you want. Nanny state, surveillance. I don't care, J-Bell. I don't care, man. I don't care.
Because you care about the kids.
Bro, this thing is getting out of control. It's getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand, man. And it's like, how do you reel that back in without that type of hard decision that a government has to make, right? Like, that's what they're there for. They're not going to do it themselves. Somebody has to make that decision. And yeah. To be honest, a lot of times when I hear about surveillance states and blah, blah, I don't care. I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't care. No. Do it. No. Surveil. Do what you need to do, man, because there's so much nonsense going on. And
this is almost different than surveillance, right? You're getting these kids off of those platforms where they're not being watched.
Yes.
And they won't do something that follows them for the rest of their life. And the things I did as a kid, if I was able to post that OC, I wouldn't have this job.
Crazy.
You know, nobody would take anything I say serious because I was a kid making bad decisions. I mean, we as a population, listen, we understand corporations do things we don't agree with. Corporations are going to do what's best for them. They're going to do what's best for their profit and their holders, their owners who hold shares in their companies. The people need to come together and say, we are going to self-regulate and we're not going to allow these kind of things to happen. And then the government will get behind that and make it so. And they've done plenty of tests. You know what it does. You know how it can harm children. Kids can't smoke, right?
Yep. Can't drink, can't do anything for that.
Yeah. You know, and I don't want to say when those regulations started, but they weren't out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so everything comes on eventually and we find a way to self-regulate as a population. So, yep, I think we're on the same page as that, brother. And we are at 33 minutes. I'm glad you came with that. I had just read that that's absolutely outstanding, man.
Yeah, J-Bell. Yeah.
Championship performance by you. On the field, I feel it, man.
Shout out to the Knicks, number one. Shout out to OG Anunoby, Nigerian. Mm-hmm. Nobody does the best player on the court, but they of course say Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, man. But OG is dope. OG is dope.
Anunoby. Shout out to the U.S. soccer team, men's national team. Shout out to Folarin Balogun, Nigerian guy, doing his thing again. You know what I mean? You want to win. If you want to win, you got to put some Nigerians in.
Yeah, yeah. 33%, J-Bell. 33% Nigerian.
Yeah.
No, I like it. 33%. You see where we go to 33 minutes, man. Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you, 33 minutes and 72 seconds. My brother, thank you very much. We appreciate everybody locking in with us. Once again, the algorithm responds to liking, subscribing, telling a friend, all that kind of stuff. Share our clips. Do it all. Help us grow. We appreciate it. Till next week, Simon gets a heads up and adapt, right?
And adapt. No, Simon gets the head down and adapt.
Oh, he gets the head down?
Head down
and
adapt.
But I thought when it's your boy, that's when you don't know him. I thought when you know him, it was different.
No, but he's still a white man, so his head's down.
Oh, I'm confused. We out. Oh my God.
He's still a white man. So
crazy. He's still a white man. So he gets that.